Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us is Anne Hertzberg. She's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor, expert in lawfare. And a very good morning to you. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of this conversation, we were actually debating with listeners this morning if there was one Jewish food that you could eliminate, that you could just remove from the menu, what would it be? So far, we've got pucha. People talking about pucha. We've got I'm going with chopped herring because I actually can't stand it. Is there a food? Doesn't matter how controversial, a Jewish food that you would remove from the menu?
Probably kishka.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, we've had a few kishkas as an answer. I think that is, yeah, perfectly reasonable in my view.
Calves jelly too.
Sorry, say again?
Calves jelly.
Yeah, so we call, yes, calves jelly, that is this pucha. I don't even know how to spell pucha. It's yeah, exactly. We were talking about that earlier as well. My late father, I think, was tormented by it as a child, so he wouldn't allow it anywhere near our house. So that worked out quite well. Okay, so let's talk about this proposal to strengthen national security legislation, and that sparked renewed debate about how democratic society should respond to rising anti-Semitism, extremist networks, and it's a very, very interesting question, because it really does call on us to look at legal frameworks, democracies, protection of democracies. For anybody who isn't following, what is the story here?
So in the UK, there has been a lot of controversy, actually for many years before October 7th, about how the UK has not prescribed or designated as terrorists the IRGC, mm-hmm. Pretty much the entity that controls Iran, occupies Lebanon, Iraq, Yemen, and is causing havoc all over the world. And they are also running a lot of these disinformation and influence operations around the world that are leading to anti-Semitism and stoking division throughout the Western world, which we have seen since October 7th. And so there has been a lot of debate there about why hasn't the government done that until now, and mm-hmm. they still have not done it, and it's kind of inexplicable because, you know, as we know, yesterday they put a whole bunch of sanctions on what they deemed as violent settlers. They placed sanctions almost immediately on Russia after the aggression against Ukraine. And yet these IRGC operatives are still wandering around England free after they've been bombing, where groups tied to them have been attacking synagogues, bombing ambulances, and other types of violence and harassment.
So is the criticism that it is too late, too little too late? Or is it that it doesn't deal with things the way it should?
I really, in the case of the IRGC, there is simply no argument for it that they shouldn't do it. Mm. It's not too late. It is too little, but I wouldn't say it's too late, because anything you can do to stop their mayhem across the globe is important. And it does have an impact. So there are a lot of cases. It can take many years, but we've seen cases of these terror-linked NGOs that were designated, and it took several years, but finally several of them are shutting down because, you know, they have caused trouble, and it sometimes takes time for things like sanctions to have an impact.
So in terms of current protections, what are there current protections for against anti-Semitism that could be relied on?
Well, it really depends on the country, because some countries have extensive, you know, hate speech laws and those types of things. The United States does not have hate speech laws, but what's been happening in the United States, and I think they've actually been probably more successful than many other countries, is they robustly use anti-discrimination laws. That's happened a little bit in countries like France, But that really what we're talking, when we're talking about anti-Semitism, we're talking about hate and discrimination. And there's just not enough, especially since October 7th, countries have been way too lax about using those anti-discrimination laws to protect the Jewish population. And in the U.S., there have been lots of lawsuits against universities. There have been investigations against universities and entities for people that are engaging in anti-Semitism, which is, you know, it's not just saying hateful things against Jews. It's about excluding Jews. We've seen cases all over Europe where Jews are being excluded from hotels, from events, from cultural events, from sporting events. And they can lie and or hide under the cover of what they claim is anti-Zionism, or they're just going against Israel. But we all know it's all about being Jewish. It has nothing, you know, it's that's all just simply a cover.
You know, I was just thinking about it earlier, and I maybe playing the devil's advocate, but the same way that many of us, and many of us that have been involved in media, in Israel-related discussions for many, many years, the same way that even we were gobsmacked by the reaction and the volcanic eruption of anti-Semitism after October the 7th, do you think that governments, law enforcers, actually had the same reaction, and that is partly why it's taken so long to actually recognize what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I know like groups like ours were warning about this for years, and unfortunately it went unheeded in many places. But I do think they were shocked by the rapidity and the extent of which these demonstrations were organized. I mean, some of them were starting on the evening of October 7th. And they were not, they did not understand the extent to which these influence operations were happening in their countries and are still happening. They're being financed by Qatar, by Turkey, the Muslim Brotherhood, by Iran, by China, by Russia. And these countries really, you know, they have front organizations. They're sending in millions of dollars. They have these loose networks of allied, ideologically aligned organizations, podcasts across the world to take over media, bots that flood social media, and you know, in the case of TikTok, China's controlling the algorithm of what people see. And it is true, law enforcement was not prepared to deal with this. And because of the concept of free speech, although I would argue in many countries it's not exactly free speech, because apparently you can be jailed for saying pretty even mild critical things, you know, depending on what the target is. But they, you know, and then so they just let these events fester and metastasize. And now it's really tearing apart Western countries. I mean, Canada is completely falling apart.
It's
Australia.
Astounding.
It's quite astounding. And unfortunately, the leadership in those countries, Canada, the UK, Australia, France, are completely unwilling to really do what's necessary to stop the phenomenon.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
incredible.
We have in Canada, they set up some committee last week to deal with anti-Semitism, but there are Islamist sympathizers supposedly on that panel.
Because that's, if there's one thing they love telling us, is lecturing us on, is what is anti-Semitism and what isn't. Anne Herzberg, we do need to leave it there. Thank you. As always, Anne is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor and an expert in lawfare.